A UAV for less than a police car? Will every police department be flying one now? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is James Allman, who is Vice President of Cyber Defense Systems. The company has been in the news because the Cyberbug, which is a very small UAV targeted for military, paramilitary, and law enforcement applications, recently got an experimental type certificate, or experimental airworthiness certificate, I should say, from the FAA. James, thanks very much for talking to us today and taking a few minutes out for our listeners.
Happy to be here.
Let me ask you specifically about cyber defense, because we have heard of the company in a couple of press releases over the past few months. Tell us what Cyber Defense Systems is and what the company's mission is.
Okay. Basically, we've been around about 2.5 years. We originally started off with a concept design of a vertical takeoff UAV, and that's our Cyber Scout. And we were tasked internally with developing a vehicle that could take off like a helicopter, fly like an airplane, fixed wing. And we came with the design internally, built a prototype, came with a stability augmentation system, and we successfully flew it, start to finish about 6 months from first cutting of materials to first stabilized flight. Since then, we've been through the transition flights with it, and basically it's in a prototype stage at this point. From there, one of our customers with another program we're working on spoke briefly about the need for a lightweight, inexpensive, backpackable small UAV. And in an effort to come up with a low-cost solution, we played around with a few different designs and came up with what we call the Cyberbug, which is a soft parafoil-type wing. It's actually a Regalo wing, hang glider-type wing, mated to a conventional fuselage with a motor, on the electric motor on the front, and a camera mounted on the bottom with fully gimbaled camera. And to date, we've actually built four different versions of the Cyberbug. We have a 2.5-pound backpackable. We have an 8.5-pound, which is our Bug B, which is our main product. We have a 14-pounder that's actually been used by some of our government agencies and flown very successfully with the NATO operations in Europe. And we have a 45-pound Cyberbug that was built under contract recently. It's actually just flown in the last few months. They all fly off the same ground control station. They all look the same. And they have some design characteristics that are identical. So a small one flies just like a big one. And that's kind of where we are today. The recent certification by the FAA, I think, was just a culmination of a lot of hard work, but it came shortly after the industry award for the best bang for the buck, i.e. best value small UAV, which was awarded to the Cyberbug about 2 months ago.
Well, now, you're involved, your position is vice president, but you are involved in engineering for the company, is that right?
I mean, right. That's primarily cyber defense is an engineering company.
Okay, why the name Cyber Defense? It seems to imply that it had to do with information technology.
That's where the roots of the company were.
Okay.
Way back when, the company had roots in some software development, and that the owners realized that wasn't a fruitful direction. So they were looking around for other things to branch out into, and they, of course, jumped in this unmanned vehicle arena. But they kept the name, or the intent of the company, I guess, stayed the same. Originally, we did do some software here, though.
Okay, now, you folks seem to have been relatively successful in a fairly short period of time with what you've set out to do. I was going to ask you when we started the interview whether any of this was done under military contract or with DARPA grants or anything like that, but none of that would have happened this quickly. You must be funding
right.
This strictly from a private standpoint.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the we've heard a little bit about the Cyberbug. Tell us a little bit about the Cyber Scout, because this sounds like it was the original intent of the company to pursue that product.
Right. I guess the easiest way to describe the Scout or the need for the Scout was everybody thinks today in urban warfare mentality. Whether you're law enforcement or military, everybody thinks urban warfare. The idea of fighting a battle in the desert or doing something out in the open is fairly far-fetched. So the launch and recovery of the vehicle becomes a concern in those environments. Helicopters are tough to deal with because, of course, there's a lot of things spinning around and they're also very fragile. So our goal was to design a fixed-wing aircraft that would have similar properties to that of a helicopter. And the main thing is to be able to deploy, whether it be off a ship or whatever, or in an urban environment, out of a small parking lot where you don't have to worry about takeoff. That's what we started with. So the Scout, to put it in simple terms, is it's the simplest approach we could think of to get a vertical takeoff. vehicle built. It has three fans. Two of them are articulate, and those are the ones located in the rear of the vehicle. And everything's gyro-stabilized. It has heading hold as well. So when the vehicle is in a hover, you can turn it, and it'll hold that heading. And then you can also move it forwards, backwards. And we actually have videos on our website of it flying around.
Okay. Now, let me ask you about the Cyberbug for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you say this is going to be a very cost-effective, and we know it's going to be a very small, lightweight package, it comes as small as, I think you said, a 2.6-pound backpackable
mm-hmm.
system.
Right.
It can stay on station for an hour. It's electrically powered, which to me speaks volumes about what has happened with battery technology in the last 20 years.
Right.
This almost sounds like a very serious product, but it's built on the scale of some remote-controlled model aircraft. Here's the interesting thing I see is where you folks interface with the aviation community is a source of some concern, and I know that the Palm Beach Police Department, I think, was the latest example where they wanted to deploy this thing, and everybody was saying, no, you got to wait for the FAA. Your experimental certificate that the Cyberbug has earned has somewhat, I guess, resolved that problem, but the general aviation community is somewhat concerned about the fact that because this is so small, every police force will want one. It's cost effective. That means, you know, there will be a lot of them in the air at some point.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage the interface with the national airspace system and also with, you know, low flying general aviation aircraft? And, you know, for that matter, news helicopters, which are often going to be around crime scenes.
Right. The truth of the matter is that the national airspace, if somebody takes time to actually read through the rules, there is no reason for a general aviation and a small aircraft to be flying at or below 500 feet. I mean, there's just no reason to, period. If a general aviation airplane came buzzing across the field to hit a bird at 300 feet, the first question to ask is, why was the airplane at 300 feet?
Mm-hmm.
The small UAVs are designed to fly below 400 feet. That's the area of operation for us. So we don't anticipate any problems with general aviation aircraft. As you get into the bigger UAVs, the 50, 60, 100, 200-pound UAVs, they're designed to fly, you know, 1,000 feet, we'll say 2,000 feet, and that's general aviation airspace, no question about it. But the small UAVs, the 8-pounder, for example, is no different than an 8-pound model airplane. When you think about it, and it's still 8 pounds, and we're actually quite a bit slower than most model airplanes when we do that intentionally. So we're fairly low energy. The bottom line is that the way you deconflict the airspace is by altitude. And that's what the military does.
Okay, now, is it going to be any issue in terms of the training or experience of the people, sometimes non-aviation people, who are at the controls of these things?
Well, the FAA is looking for pilots. They want licensed pilots flying the UAVs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
What will the qualifications be for a pilot? Will they be looking for someone with a just with the experience, a private pilot's license, or will they want somebody with a commercial ticket to do this?
They currently want a private pilot with an instrument rating.
Really?
Yes. And I'm not sure why the instrument rating, except that flying a UAV is closer to flying an aircraft on instruments than it is anything else.
Well, sure. I can imagine why that would be.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a break here, but let me come back and ask you a few more questions about these products if you have a moment.
Sure.
My guest today is James Allman, who is Vice President for Cyber Defense Systems in Florida. You are listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR-22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR-22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with James Allman, who is Vice President of Cyber Defense Systems in Florida. These folks make the cyber bug that has been making news lately. It made news a few weeks ago when the Palm Beach Police Department said, we want one, and everybody in the aviation community said, no, you need to wait for the FAA to get it a certificate. And then it made news a few days ago when, after a demonstration on Friday in Florida, the cyberbug unmanned aerial vehicle actually got an experimental airworthiness certificate from the FAA. Jim, let me ask you about the certificate itself. What are the operating limitations on this certificate? What are you allowed to do with a cyberbug now that you have this piece of paper?
Well, currently we have one cyberbug, and it's a Bug B, which is our primary product line. It is carrying a registration number just like any conventional aircraft would.
Except a very, very small one.
It's actually the whole side of the aircraft.
Yeah, okay.
But it's on the side of the aircraft. And what the experimental certificate has given us the ability to do is at a location that the FAA deemed was appropriate and safe, we're allowed to fly, do research and development, training, et cetera, market survey type work with the cyberbug in this area. And the goal right now is to fly off approximately 50 hours. We have hundreds of hours of cyberbug time documented. And we're going to petition the FAA to let us count some of that time towards the 50 hours. As well. Once the 50 hours is done, we should be able to petition for more areas to fly in. That's the plan.
Okay, so is this particular certificate applicable only to an individual customer, or is it going to have wider applications once the test period is flown off?
Well, it's hard to say. In theory, the idea that we're flying the aircraft and the FAA is watching the aircraft now. Now they know that we have an airplane out there, and they're looking for data from us. They're looking for logbook entries, you know, documentation of flight, documentation of incidents. That's what we're trying to do right now. We've flown cyberbugs for the last year and a half with basically no incidents. So I don't anticipate we'll have any problems. I'm hoping at the end of 50 hours, we can go to the FAA and say, look, here's 50 hours of trouble-free operation. Now we want to expand out a little bit. Here's some other areas we're interested in flying in. Now, that doesn't prohibit us from doing our work with the military because, of course,
right,
those areas are restricted airspace.
Mm-hmm.
But for the time being, it allows us to conduct our training, conduct our market survey, conduct our research and development of the aircraft legally. And that's the main thing, is we really want to comply. At this point in my life, I have a better understanding what the FAA is trying to do. And I understand why they're putting these restrictions in place. And that's because they don't want to have a free-for-all out there with the UAVs.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's a way for us to comply and get our job done at the same time.
All right. Now, about the capabilities of this thing, a 2.6-pound aircraft that is taken to a site by backpack, assembled in a few minutes and hand-launched or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like a toy. But this thing has some very powerful attributes. Tell us what a typical police agency would do with a cyberbug.
Okay. The 2.5-pounder basically is backpackable, as you said. The 2.5-pounder flies for 40 minutes right now. We did it as a development project, and we're looking to do further development with it. We actually have a foreign customer very interested in it right now. It has a fully gimbaled color camera with targeting capability. So a good example would be there's a neighborhood where there's suspected drug trafficking, we'll say. The vehicle is essentially silent. You could launch the vehicle from, say, a kilometer away, maybe out of a baseball field or something like that, fly to the area, put the vehicle in an orbit, move the camera around, target it to different locations, record that video, and then if you were going to send officers in, of course, now you have a bird's eye view of the situation. So really, more than anything, it's a situational awareness for the officers.
Now, this can be flown either under direct remote control by an operator, or does the small one have an autonomous mode?
Absolutely. It has GPS guidance on board, has the ability to be fully autonomous or manual control, but you can't fly it like a model airplane. We designed the cyberbug very, very differently. You cannot dive a cyberbug on the target. We took that out of the equation completely. What you do is you send commands to the autopilot. The autopilot has a lot of limitations in it that we built in so that the vehicle essentially is going to fly around in a very, very controlled, rate-controlled, pitch-controlled, speed-controlled flight. And you can't exceed that. So
okay.
If you're flying around in orbit and all of a sudden you say, I want to dive on the target, that's not going to happen. Instead, you move the camera.
Okay. Let me picture some other possible applications for this. Search and rescue has come up, and and I also think of times, you know, any of us who watch Cops on TV, the TV show, think of these situations where they're chasing some perpetrator through backyards and they've got a helicopter overhead with a searchlight. This thing, when you say the camera has targeting capability, does this mean perhaps that you could instruct the software to keep a particular object in frame?
Yes.
And follow it around that way?
Yes, it will do that.
Wow. Well, this is sounding very powerful. At first, when I heard about this product, I thought, you know, this is going to be a very interesting idea for a police department that's currently faced with the costs of maintaining a helicopter. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, this is going to appeal to two-man police force in, you know, 7,000 population little towns.
Sure.
Who would never dream of being able to have a helicopter.
Exactly. For law enforcement, the Cyberbug is a great air asset because you can't wait the hour. You know, if your county doesn't have a helicopter and you're borrowing one from the county next door, you can ill afford, if you have a traffic accident, for example, if you need to find out how to get rescue vehicles in and out, you can't wait the hour for the helicopter to show up. So in the case of a major intersection accident, the officer could launch a Cyberbug, climb up to 400 feet. He's got the camera. He can look down all the roads now and see which roads look clear. If he needs to fly down a road a little bit, he can do that as well. And then tell people, okay, this road's clear, bring the ambulance in this way. This is your best chance. But he's going to know that 2 to 3 minutes after he gets there, he's going to have the vehicle in the air.
Now, you just brought up an interesting application, traffic observation work. Some of it is done by law enforcement agencies in scenarios such as you just described, but a lot of traffic watch is done by private organizations, either radio or TV stations.
Right.
Sometimes there are syndicated companies that perform it on behalf of a large number of TV or radio stations. Right now, the law enforcement sector, under what's called public use regulations for the FAA, has wide latitude to use experimental aircraft in their missions. That's not necessarily true in everyday commercial applications.
Right.
Is there more certification to be sought? Is more forthcoming on the regulatory side of the Cyberbug?
Absolutely. Yeah, the goal is to help the FAA, and we feel like we're going to be a participant in this. The FAA has a tough task ahead of them because there are a lot of people that want to be in this game. There are also a lot of people out there who are buying, I hate to say it, commercial model airplane product, incorporating autopilots and cameras into them and calling them UAVs. The problem is there's a liability issue there. The manufacturer doesn't know they're being used for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the FAA has to address that as well, that, hey, if you don't have a waiver from the manufacturer, you cannot use their vehicle as a UAV. We're not going to certify that. But in the case of the Cyberbug, I mean, we're like a little airplane factory. We have drawing packages and shop travelers and, you know, QA procedures and all that is in place here. And we feel very confident that we look more like an airplane manufacturing group than other UAV operators or builders. So we want the FAA to not only look at the aircraft flying certification, we want to look at the aircraft manufacturing side as well. So we want basically the FAA to look at us like a little airplane factory.
How reasonably priced is the Cyberbug? What are we talking about for a package to get into one of these for a law enforcement agency?
A package deal Cyberbug is going to be, I'll say, with a ground control station, around $34,000.
Okay.
And to give you a rough idea, I think the other small UAVs, you're going to see them in the... And when I say UAVs, I mean actually developed UAVs, not model airplanes with cameras, but other developed UAVs you're going to see probably in the $60,000 range. But there's a lot more tooling involved, and that's where a lot of the costs come in, the tooling and manufacturing costs associated with a hard-winged aircraft.
All right, so you're talking about an aircraft that's going to go for about the cost of a typical minimal-equipped squad car.
Yeah, less than a squad car. That's been our target.
Okay, all right. This, to me, raises the possibility that in the future we may need to get into automated air traffic control at 400 feet for swarms of these things. I mean, I don't want to give a negative spin to it, but there could be a lot of these in the air. Is there any thought been given to how these might interact with each other in some sort of automated fashion to avoid each other?
There is. There's a lot of talk of the swarm technology. A lot of the initial swarm technology has been proven already. The real question is whether you want swarm in a domestic environment or not. And I think the short-term answer is no. The the ability to put multiple UAVs in the air, our system, we can fly as many as 5 UAVs at one time off one ground station.
Mm-hmm.
It's a handful for the operator, but to operate 2 or 3 is very, very simple, and you deconflict those by altitude.
Okay, so
one at 80 meters, one at 100 meters, one at 110 meters, or something like that. It's
okay, very, but now if you have 2 or 3 different organizations trying to operate in the same area, and I'm thinking specifically of, say, a major crime scene like we often see on TV where mm-hmm. 2 or 3 TV stations and law enforcement are all trying to do aerial surveillance.
Right, but the simple way to deconflict those is when those groups are going to have some kind of authorization to fly anyway by some local enforcement agency, whether it be FAA or airport authority, whatever, they should be assigned altitudes, not unlike what they do when you're filing a flight plan.
Okay. So we are talking about air traffic control at 400 feet and down.
I would say there's a way to do this deconfliction, and I think altitude's the best way. But, you know, I'm not the FAA. I can't say for sure.
Well, listen, this technology sounds fascinating. It sounds like science fiction come to life, which, of course, a lot of our world does these days.
Love to talk more about it. If you have any questions, of course, I'm available.
Okay, and the website is?
www.cduav.com.
My guest has been James Allman, who is Vice President of Cyber Defense Systems in Florida. James, thanks for making a few minutes for our listeners today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.